Hi, Martin.
Hi, Nick. How's it going?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. Refreshed from your holiday?
I am. I'm still in holiday mood. Mood, mode. Both whatever. Things.
Well, it is still Easter around here.
Yes, and that's why it's been a bit difficult for me because Sophie, being a teacher, she's still on school holidays this week. So kind of came back nice and relaxed. It's odd actually because, we've been trying to get everything ready for this Google update, which is coming on 21st, Tuesday actually, which is a lot closer than I've realised. And so there's not really much to do. We've kind of got all the stuff done to get ready for it. We were ready actually, like the site was responsive ages ago and all those kind of bits and pieces. So kind of just waiting for Tuesday to come along. So in terms of major things to try and start doing this week, it's kind of been not there really.
Yeah.
So
They said they're going to sneak anything else into it as well as the mobile stuff?
Well, though. I guess everyone across the board in the SEO industry is, I think, hoping for a Panda and Penguin update at the same time. Yeah. Because Google confirmed last week, I think it was, that, from October time, Panda was supposed to be rolling out on a continuous basis, I guess.
Yeah.
So as content gets added or changed and so on, it was supposed to, you know, have that Panda algorithm run across it. But Google admitted last week that it's not, and it still needs to be run manually. And so the kind of feelings are that Panda and Penguin hasn't really run since October last year when it was last run.
Yeah.
And so it's in the same situation again, you know, where sites that were penalised back in October or saw a small uplift or whatever, there's not been any, if you've done fixes to try and get out of any kind of penalty since October, you've not seen any real benefit of it yet.
And of course, I suppose the ones that are setting up now that are dodgy haven't seen the negatives from
it. I mean, in our particular sector, the voucher code thing, the guy that was doing all those spammy sites, he's getting hit quickly now. As an individual, which Google do any site that they're tracking him somehow, so they know it's him. So any site that he gets put into the index quickly is in a day or two is taken out.
Right, so he's on a watch list.
They've caught
somewhere.
Up with him, somehow or other. So I don't know how they're tracking him, whether it's because there's ways you can circumvent it now. Because it's funny because this guy was doing this for so long, we were kind of like, something we could perhaps think about doing. And it's so much easier now with, cloud virtual machine hosters, because you want to hide your IP address from doing stuff, don't you? But we've been able to fire up virtual machines so easily now, having different IP addresses for doing all these different stuff.
Yeah.
It's probably easier now to, be able to mask your identity to Google and not be able to link sites together. But they've obviously caught up with him somehow.
That's good.
That's good. So, how about you? What have you been up to?
Yeah, well, it's been taking a few days off, doing a few bits and bobs. We've had a walk up to the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang windmill one day over Easter, which is it's a place called Turville, which is in Buckinghamshire. And on top of the hill there, there's the windmill that was used in the film Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. So if anybody's watched it, I'm sure most people have. I was there. So we had a bit of a walk, spent a couple of hours in the afternoon having a walk around there, and then there's a pub in the village, which is a really nice pub, so we had dinner there. And actually, last time we went there, which was about 5 or 6 years ago, it was a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon, and Orlando Bloom was in the beer garden having a beer with his pals.
Really?
Yeah, I must live around there somewhere. I have a house there. There's loads of famous people live around there because it's really, really nice and pretty expensive. So that was good. And
you didn't go and ask him for a selfie or anything then?
No, not back then. No,
he didn't ask you.
No, of course.
No.
Well, I
guess
because
you do
podcast
the podcast, they don't know the face, do they?
So, exactly. Yeah. But we weren't doing
give
it back
it time,
then anyway.
So. Give it time.
Won't be able to leave.
Do
the
they
front
not
door.
Pick up your voice and hear your voice across the garden and go, I know that voice?
No. So that was good. And just stuff like that, really, taking the day off here and there. We didn't go away anywhere. Not like you, sunning yourself in South Wales.
No, we went to West Wales, Saundersfoot.
West Wales?
Yeah, in Pembrokeshire. It's lovely over there, really nice.
So is that not Tenby? I thought you were going to Tenby.
Well, no, it's literally like 5 minute drive.
Oh, okay.
It's Tenby and Saundersfoot. Saundersfoot's next one along the coast or a bit closer to England. It was busy because it was Easter holiday period, obviously, but not so busy. Well, Tenby was actually. That's where we went previously. We wanted to try Saundersfoot because we're thinking about, it's interesting, we're thinking about either buying a holiday place there and letting it out, or even relocating there potentially in the end.
Right.
But we'll have to make a decision about that quite soon because Isabel's, I say soon, it's like 2.5 years Isabel will be going to school, so we'll have to want to make a decision before then,
I guess. You have to apply a year before, don't you, pretty much, and all that sort of stuff. It's a pain in the
arse.
So
it does take a bit of planning ahead. It's lovely. The beaches over there are lovely. The Welsh are lovely.
Very nice. Yeah, it's nice.
So, yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Well, I've been mainly, you know, other than taking a bit of time off, been mainly freelancing and not working on anything in particular. But I have had The Walking Dead continues to walk.
Right.
I had another email from the first customer for Joined Up Data this week with some more stuff they want doing. Different to the first one, but similar kind of, you know, merging Excel spreadsheet. So, you know, it's gonna, they're gonna pay me more than it's gonna cost me to do it. Yeah,
right.
Well, why not? You know, I mean, it'll be profit making, which will be the first thing that Joined Up Data has done that's profit making. It's only going to be about £2.50's worth of profit, but you know, and just it's probably less than an hour of work for me, so I'll just do it. Right.
Yeah,
just do it and send it off to them. I don't know, maybe I should just shut it down, but who knows, you know.
Well, they still email you, don't they, because they've got your email address.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't mind doing that. Yeah, so that's fine. So that's I suppose good news. I don't know, it's difficult to know what kind of news it is. Now it's summer, all these things are happening. I've got darts season's just started, the summer darts season.
All right.
We had the first one on Tuesday. I won my first game, which is good. And one of my big events of the year, the Reading Beer Festival on the 1st of May. Ticket for that.
Very good.
It's all started to happen. It's funny when the sun comes out and then all these things start to come out of the woodwork. And
yeah.
It's, summer's around the corner, so that's good.
Yeah, I was saying, because on Wednesday, actually, it's a bit odd. It was like, it's been the hottest day of the year so far, wasn't it, on Wednesday? I think it got 22 degrees in Reading. I played my winter knockout final.
Oh, on that
in
day,
the,
yeah.
In the lovely sunny 36 holes. Unfortunately, I lost on the last hole, but it was a great experience and... it was a good day. But yeah, it was strange. I was saying to the chap afterwards, it's strange, obviously, playing a winter knockout game in this lovely
season. Yeah.
We both had our shorts on. but I was just saying, you know, it's funny that you kind of feel your mood lifted up so much more, don't you? And I felt that the previous week in Saundersfoot in the sun, you know. I definitely suffer from sad syndrome, or whatever it's called, you know, grey skies, winter periods. So yeah, it's great. So, hope
so do you get anything for coming second?
I think you get some money in the pro shop to spend.
No, that's all right. So, bonus.
So yeah, get to buy some new clubs or something.
Good. Have you had a chance to do any work since you've been back?
I've done bits and pieces. Yeah, like nothing. The normal stuff that, like, sending out newsletters and bits and pieces like that. But I've kind of been thinking, I watched the Masters at the weekend.
Of course.
The first big thing. That's the kicking off of the golf season, really. It's the first major of the year.
Yeah.
And Jordan Spieth won it. Did amazingly well. It's crazy, he's only 21.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Won it wire to wire, which is leading from the first day to the end, last day. And that's not been done for a long, long time, I don't think, especially in the Masters. And he broke all the records, or he equaled Tiger Woods' record, didn't he, of the lowest score?
Yeah.
And so well done to him. And it was interesting, Justin Rose, I think I was saying to you over Skype, who finished second on, I think, his 14 under. He'd have won it the last 13 or 14 years or something.
Good grief.
And then even over a longer period, like the last 70 odd years or something, he'd have like won it like probably 69 or 67 times.
Yeah.
So it must be a bit frustrating for him, but you know, that's the thing about golf. You can play your best round of your life ever, but someone may still come in with a better score. So
yeah.
You kind of just have to play against yourself, really. But anyway, with the whole Masters thing kicking off, watching golf on TV, I've been thinking more about golf.io.
Okay.
Which is it's kind of laid dormant, I guess, the last few weeks, maybe months, I guess.
Yeah.
In this terms, I put a landing page up and played around with some Twitter ads, but haven't really pushed through. I'm thinking about making it more of a golf community type site.
Okay.
So putting some reviews of clubs up there. It's almost just really making use of the domain because I spent so much bloody money on it. I need to do something with
it. Does that tie into a bit like your forever project sort of thing?
I guess so, yeah. And I guess this is the whole thing of building up a community or an audience around the site first, perhaps before doing something else like building an app or a stats tracking thing. So I can always come back to that if I want to later on, but it's putting some use to the domain. You know, enjoy watching. I watch a lot of golf, so I can write about it.
Yeah.
And almost there's lots of videos and stuff up on YouTube, so I'm always thinking of building up a couple of almost like Wikipedia type pages. So if you're having trouble with bunker play or something like that,
you
can go and find the best bunker videos and put them on a page.
That's
and
a good idea.
Write
up
a bit of stuff about them and stuff. So
cool.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
Lee Ball will be pleased because he was tweeting us this week.
Yeah, you were saying, I saw a couple of tweets and then you kind of carried the conversation on separately, didn't you? So he made a comment about golf.io needs a bit of work.
Yeah, looking a bit
sparse.
He does. So he's right, there you go. He'll be happy this week. Cool. So the other thing, I mean, we both signed up for the 30x500 course with Amy Hoyt, and that apparently is starting, well, they're releasing the videos and courses, course material, or the first part of it, on Sunday evening, I believe.
Right.
So looking forward to that, getting going with that. It's coinciding quite nicely with some of my freelance work sort of going down a bit, so I might have a day or two next week to even do some work on it, which is fantastic.
Well, this is your big thing though, isn't it? As you kind of say, like, a day or two, this is where your hopes and dreams lie, don't they?
Well, this is...
to a certain degree.
It's something that I'm going to put a lot of effort into, certainly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm really hoping that it's going to work out for me doing that. So, yeah. I haven't chosen an audience still, you know.
That's Are you one supposed of the things, to have done? Because I haven't.
I don't know. I mean, on the Slack chat that they've got, the private Slack chat for the people that have signed up, lots of people have and some people haven't. And it's kind of like, it's unclear really whether... What they've been keen to point out is that you're kind of not married to the audience that you choose. Mm. And when they say an audience, they don't really mean... Well, they use it in both senses, I think, in terms of people that are followers of you on Twitter or on an email list or whatever, or a blog. But they also mean it as in terms of something that you're part of. So it's more about choosing an area of your life, you know, some interests you've got or some experience you've got. For example, you know, I'm developing different technologies, but, you know, ASP.NET, C# is kind of one of them. And that's an audience for me, really, because I'm familiar with it and I know what... And so the idea is you kind of know what people in that group are all about, and because you're one of them, and that makes it easier. So you choose one and then you sort of do the investigation. I think they call it Sales Safari.
Mm.
To work out whether there's something there that you could turn into a product, some problems that you could solve. But the idea is you're not wedded to it, so you pick one, and because you're in it already and you're familiar with it, it's easier for you to actually produce a product.
Mm-hmm.
So you do the investigation to work out whether there's something there, and if there isn't, or it doesn't take your fancy, or whatever the criteria are that you have, then you switch over to something else. You know, and we talked, Qt is something that I really like.
Yeah.
Haven't done anything professionally with it, but it's something that I like, the framework. So that's a potential audience for me as well. But I haven't chosen. Going backwards and forwards, and it's difficult, really, because it doesn't really light a fire under me, you know, like ASP.NET or...
Well, so this is the thing, because in theory, I'd have the same kind of audience as you.
Yeah.
As in ASP, you know, that's my background. ASP.NET, MVC, even SharePoint going back. But I don't really want to spend time in that audience anymore.
Yeah,
or
that's
spend
kind of
time building for that audience.
Kind of the way I feel as well.
I've been working in that area for 10 years. The sensible thing would be to do that.
Yeah.
But I want to move on to something new, I guess, a new area.
It's difficult between, you know, just sucking it up and doing the work, you know, and then maybe getting some revenue from it and then using that revenue to spur on the next thing. Or actually, what I'd rather do is pick something that I'm interested in and is fairly new, which will be harder work, but I might enjoy it more.
So the golf is the other audience for me, but whether, like all the educational stuff that people seem to have done through the 30x500 course before, whether golf would fit that, you know, the thing. Because a lot of the educational stuff, it's all technical stuff, isn't it? It's a lot of it's design, programming.
But I think that's what this Sales Safari thing's about, is that you spend however long doing that, and then... You go into it without any idea of what your product's going to be. And I know a lot of them have done ebooks or courses, but it might not be that. It might be an iPhone app, or it might be, you know, it's identifying what the people in the community are looking for. And they may not say what it is. You know, it may be something you read between the lines and pick up on and say, this would solve that problem. But
so the fun thing will be, you go onto any golf forum, there's enough people moaning about their golf swing and issues they're having with golf.
Yeah.
There's almost too many problems to be able to address. There's so many people who've written books and stuff about golf and videos about how to play it and stuff. That's why I'm kind of thinking it's not a good audience to go into, but hey.
You could spend the time researching it, and then if you don't come up with anything, move on to something else or whatever, but... Yeah, it's a difficult one. So I'm looking forward to... I think there's a launch thing on Sunday, and so I might watch that, and then I'm looking forward to getting started next week.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
That's good.
So this show's all about you, Martin.
It's all about me.
You were looking at me to say something, but I've been on holiday, remember? In holiday mode, so...
Yeah, and
I'm looking at you for the next thing to talk about.
I've not done much, really.
How did you enjoy doing the interview?
I did, It was difficult, I think. It's funny, I was saying just before this that... It I did enjoy doing it, but it's kind of very different to how we usually do this because we've known each other for a long time and it's fairly easy to sort of talk about stuff. And I had a list of questions. I didn't ask them all, bizarrely, because I guess when you're in the moment of doing the interview, you sometimes skip over things. And some of the questions had been answered in general conversation, so you crossed those off and so you went through it. But it was good. The most difficult bit was doing the sort of intro bit. Because it was just me talking, you know, and I'm not used to that. I'm used to both of us in the room and all that sort of thing. So that was the difficult bit. But yeah, it was good. I think we should probably do some more in the future.
But you're apologising at the end of it for some reason.
I know.
What do you apologise for?
I don't know, really. I don't know. But there you go. I guess I felt when I listened to it back that because it was only sort of like 15 minutes long and I'd expected it to be at least half an hour, and I felt that I could perhaps have padded out a few more of the questions, not padded out, asked more detail on some of the some of the questions to get a bit more useful information out of it. And I didn't do that. So that's a learning sort of for the future, really, for me.
It depends on the person you're interviewing as well. From my experience of doing a SharePoint pod show, you know, Louise gave quite short answers, didn't they? Whereas kind of you were hoping for her to perhaps speak a bit more.
Maybe.
And I always used to say to people before the SharePoint, like doing an interview around SharePoint, I'd say, you know, give long answers. It's probably better for us to say too much than too little, because the worst thing is, well, I did a couple of interviews where they gave just a bit more than like a one word or two word answer, and you know, that's on a podcast where people are wanting to listen to long explanations about stuff. I guess you don't want it, it's a difficult one, isn't it, because you don't want people to ramble on forever and ever, but you need to fill a 30-minute show.
yeah, exactly. And you can always cut stuff out if it's no...
That's really what I kind of said. Yeah, if you start rambling on and you don't like something, you know, you can always cut it out.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know for next time now, and next time we do it, I'll be able to prepare better, I think.
Because well, what I used to do as well, actually, after a few interviews, I did like a pre-interview to kind of get a feel of,
that's a good idea.
What the questions... Almost, you can go through the questions with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, say, well, can you fill that out a bit more? Can you say a bit more about this or that? It takes more work up front, doesn't it? But
it's a good idea, definitely.
And that's what, well, Andrew Warner for Mixed G, he doesn't do the pre-interviews anymore, does he? But someone else does it for him. But I guess it certainly helped me when I was doing the SharePoint pod show ones.
Maybe we'll have another go and do that.
Well, yeah, definitely. We're going to be at breaks and holidays and stuff, aren't we? Different times. So, well, if anybody does want to do an interview, they should drop us an email and we can talk about their experience of bootstrapping startups and so on, and so things like that. So yeah, let us know. It'll
give
them a bit of publicity for their site and application and stuff as well. So
yeah, that'd be cool. So did you see, I don't know if we've mentioned this, Patrick McKenzie sold Bingo Card Creator.
I saw a little while ago saying it was up for sale.
Yeah.
Or he's going to stop working on it. So
it's done now. So I think on the 8th of April or something, it was all completed. And he's now free from it. Concentrate on his new project.
Did he say how much he sold it for?
Not that I've seen, no. That would be really interesting to know, but I guess there's probably some confidentiality clause there that he's not allowed to talk about it.
So, is he still doing an appointment reminder and his new...
I believe he's still doing an appointment reminder. That Starfighter thing, I thought that from the description I saw of it, sounded to me like it was going to be quite a big project. and it would take quite a long time for them to get it up and running, but...
Yeah.
But I think they're planning on getting it out in the next month or so.
Right. Which is not the premise of the idea is?
It's sort of a problem solving site, programming problem solving, where you, I think it's kind of like a game where you have to solve technical problems to progress.
Yeah.
And the idea is that assesses your technical capability, and recruiters, or not recruiters, but people looking to employ people can use that site. So it's a two-end thing. You know, you've got people that play the game who are potentially looking for jobs, and then you've got the people that want to fill positions who can pick people based on their how they're doing in the problems on Starfighter. I've probably butchered that description, but we'll put a link to it in the show notes if you want to find out more about it. It sounds really interesting. Yeah, and I think he's... So the other thing that's happened is MicroConf in the US has been this week.
Yeah,
it's just finished, and there's a great summary of it. I'll put again the link in the show notes, but I think it's microconfrecap.com, and I've scanned through Patrick McKenzie's notes on there, and there's a few of those that look really good. It's funny, I love reading these recap notes because you get the feeling of what it was like to be there sort of thing and what the presentations were about without actually being there. And I must admit to seeing some of the tweets come through as it was on, feeling a bit jealous that I wasn't
there.
Yeah,
I was as well, actually, yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to go to the US one time, but...
It's interesting that the StarCraft thing... And it's not StarCraft, what's it called?
Starfighter.
It's around... They're going to generate revenue about around... Well, it's careers, isn't it, really? So people are going to, I think...
Yeah.
Show their technical skills and hopefully get jobs off the back of that.
Yeah.
And I remember reading a little while ago around Stack Exchange or Stack Overflow, sorry, and most of their... Or the majority of their revenue, or the highest percentage of their revenue, is from their careers side of things, isn't it?
Yeah.
Rather than from the advertising. So it's interesting, really.
It is interesting, the whole job board thing. Because recruiters, I don't know if you've ever done any recruitment through recruiters, but they take a big whack of the salary. I think it's usually...
It's like 3 months.
Something like that.
It's a while ago I did it.
Yeah, but. I can't remember either. It was a long time ago since I did it. But yeah, it's a lot of money that they make. So there's a lot of money floating around there that people, businesses are prepared to pay to
pretty
get the right people.
Pretty much just forwarding CVs on email.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, and the job boards that have been around for years are next to useless.
Yeah.
Well, not that I've been on one for more than 11 years, but if you look at them these days, they don't look like they've improved much since I did use them back 11 years ago. So, I don't know. There's definitely some money floating around there.
Cool.
There's something I saw was about niche marketing with Reddit. So this is a bit more stuff than anything else. This guy, what's his name? Viper Chill is the website. And he's been talking about niche marketing using Reddit. Where the thing I found interesting about it, is I'll put the link in the show notes to have a read. And he's basically talking about setting up a website based around a niche which is in Reddit as well. Mm. And then getting people to share your posts on Reddit. And so the thing that's interesting about it when you read it, or it was interesting to me, was doing the research within Reddit, you know, to find out what people are talking about, what people are interested in, what people are sharing. Because that's a good way, even if you don't like the idea of just setting up a site around Reddit, you know, but people are getting a lot of traffic from it, you know, millions of views a month. But if you look at your own niche that you've got a product in or you're looking to develop, you can quickly find blog ideas or content marketing ideas using Reddit based on what people are sharing and what people are talking about. So I think that's what I found most interesting about it.
Yeah, yeah. I'll take a look at it.
Yeah, it's good.
The one thing I was going to mention about, I guess, a technical thing about the podcast and site. So we mentioned before, perhaps privately, about wanting to set up an email newsletter list so we can, you know, send out an email when we put a new show up and stuff.
Yeah.
And we've been using Simplecast for hosting our podcast and also the site as well. Yeah. Which has worked really well so far, hasn't it?
You
know, been more than happy with it. It's only like $12 a month, I think. And that hosts our files, so hopefully gives people good download speed of the files and whatever.
Yeah.
And it allows us to put a simple site up. But it's so it's simple in terms of we can't include any JavaScript or anything on there.
Right.
So we can't include the snippets for the little pop-up thing saying sign up to our email newsletter and so on. So I'm not sure whether the time has come to... We can still use Simplecast for hosting the audio files.
Right.
But setting up a WordPress site and migrating stuff over.
That sounds like a good idea, yeah.
So that might be a to-do thing for us over the next week.
Yeah.
Don't know. I guess the thing is if we want to set up an email newsletter, then we have to take that step at some point, don't we?
Yeah, and I think that would be a good thing to do, to get that, and then we can at least notify people by email when things are happening, if anything happens.
Yeah. Well, now the 35x500 thing starting on Monday, Sunday, so...
Yeah, so we'll have
the
things...
With the Google update happening on Tuesday, I'll either be really happy or really sad on the next podcast. So
or maybe really busy fixing stuff.
Very cool.
Okay, so you've not got any stuff or anything to add?
No, apart from I suggest people visit Saundersfoot on holiday because it's really nice there.
Yeah,
that's my advice for this week.
This whole...
tell you what, actually, the... another good thing about holiday was we booked it quite late, and there was only one place left available. But it said it had Wi-Fi, but we got there and there was no Wi-Fi.
Oh,
and so, but actually, again, it was a great holiday because we had no internet connection.
Yeah, that's good to be able to switch off.
Yeah, if you're looking at a place to stay for a week or a weekend or something, and it doesn't have Wi-Fi, I wouldn't turn it down. I think if we're going to go away again next, I'd probably try and book somewhere without Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
because you can always go to the pubs and have free. get free Wi-Fi there, and it's a good excuse to go for a pint by yourself, just to get emails quickly.
I like your thinking. Yeah.
So yeah, don't discount places without Wi-Fi is my advice for this week.
Well, you certainly, all your talk about Tenby and now this new place has piqued my interest in Southwest Wales. So yeah, give that a go. All right, Ed, so catch up again next week.
Yep. All right, thanks, Martin.
Cheers, then.
Bye.
Bye.